Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. Mm. We certainly would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. You can also listen to us on a podcast. Just go out to EWTN's Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio/podcast, or wherever you happen to listen to your podcast. If you haven't gotten out into the podcast land, might be a good way to say, I'm jumping, I'm going to go listen to Jim and Joy and get out there. There are all good things to listen to.
Samantha has a podcast too.
She does. Samantha has a wonderful podcast. Okay. Well, today we're welcoming back Samantha Stevenson to our show. Samantha is a Catholic convert. She is an author. She's homeschooling mother of four and a Paul Ramsey Fellow at the Center for Bioethics and Culture. She writes on the intersection of faith, family, and the future. And she is also the voice behind the Choosing Human newsletter on Substack. And she's the host of a podcast, which I have listened to. It's called Brave New Us, Being Human in the Age of Biotechnology. And we fail because we're not informed. You can listen to her podcast. You will be informed. Keep it on EWTN. You will be informed. Well, today she's here to speak to us about her book, Reclaiming Motherhood from a Culture Gone Mad, and how biotechnologies threaten to redefine our very humanity. Please go out to her website. It's snstevenson.com. Well, we had a wonderful show yesterday.
We did.
Very informative, very fast, and I just loved it, and I'm looking forward to the rest of it today.
Just in a kind of snippet here about the book, she says, we live in a culture of self-worship that is utterly confused about life, meaning, joy, our bodies, a culture that desperately needs the good news of Christ and the wisdom of our church. Mm-hmm. We need a cultural revival on issues of motherhood, our embodied nature as masculine and feminine, sexuality and life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Samantha Stevenson. She's the author of a wonderful book, Reclaiming Motherhood from a Culture Gone Mad. Go out to her website, snstevenson.com, and you will learn much. If you're wanting to be enriched and brought up to speed on what's happening in this culture, and there's answers, so you don't have to research, you don't have to Google it, just read the book and you will truly be informed. Well, tell our family, Samantha, a little summary of what they're going to find in the book, and especially at the end of each chapter, at the end of the book, all the resources that are there.
Sure, yeah. So it's really a theology of the body for motherhood, especially in our modern era. You know, looking at, and it's an apologetic for all of the church's teachings on marriage and femininity, and then we go into the beautiful theology behind breastfeeding and childbirth and some of the options or the obstacles that women face in those things. And then it concludes by looking at the ways that God's plan is being distorted by various technologies like IVF and some of the more brave new world type crazy or genetic editing and embryo selection and things like that. And so the back of the book, there's a section for diving deeper. There's a lot of resources. If people are interested in a particular topic, they can explore more. And there's a good discussion guide. So if you wanted to use it your parish group, your mom's group, to really understand and discuss and go through the chapter, by chapter.
Yeah. Well, to mention a few of the chapters, you kind of paraphrase them. The spiritual roots of our madness. That's good to know. male and female, he created them, revisiting happily ever after, contraception versus a culture of hospitality. I love that, a culture of welcoming. Unconditional love begins in the womb. This is my body, given up for you, childbirth, and the Paschal mystery. I mean, just the headings are just so super, and it is a wonderful book. I want you to share just a little bit, because you make a big point of focus regarding motherhood. Mm-hmm. And if I don't say it correctly, then just correct me, but it seems like the emphasis, the beginning point, is essence and nature and what motherhood means. Mm-hmm. Motherhood is of the essence and of the being of a woman. It's referred to sometimes as feminine genius. That might be right. One you want to unpack. But it's all this, you know, the closeness of the relationship to humanity, mm-hmm. that women have, and carrying life, giving their body and blood. You know, I mean, so much stuff that men can't do, you know, mm-hmm. with stuff we can do, but I mean, it's like incredible. So motherhood begins there. Some people, when they hear mother, will say, well, you know, I couldn't have children, and I didn't adopt, and so on, so I, you know, that term bothers me. Mm-hmm. But no, you have motherhood, right?
Right.
You don't have to have a child to have motherhood. That's your essence, your being. What is that? Unpack that.
Yeah, I mean, every woman is called to be a mother, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you'll raise children, right. But we are called to be the nurturers, to really attend to the personal in a particular and special way. And you want to think all of the cloistered women, you know, the women who are part of these religious orders, they are mothers. They are called mother, you know, in mother, yeah. Abbess, in their role is to be mother. And the way that I unpack it in the book is one aspect of spiritual motherhood. So we could talk about spiritual motherhood, right. all day, but I really talk about our prophetic call. We were talking earlier about being shying away from controversy because we feel fear being judged or canceled. But really, by virtue of our baptism, we are called, we're baptized into Christ's role as priest, prophet, and king.
Yeah.
And so that means that we have a gift in the truth of the church. We are called to share that gift. And if you want to talk about what's not kind, yeah. what's not kind is withholding that truth from the people who need to hear,
yes.
it. And of course, we want to express that with the utmost kindness, as tactfully as possible. We don't want to be waving in people's faces or anything like that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, that is what we're called to do. We're called,
yes.
to give them what they need. If they don't have the truth, then they can't turn to Jesus. They can't, it's our call to evangelize. And so shying away from that, because we'll be, you know, people will say, oh, you're judging,
yeah.
me. Well, if we see a kid in the street and there's a bus coming towards the kid, we're not going to say, oh, I'm sorry, I wouldn't want to be judgmental about this parenting style, so I didn't pull the kid out of the street. No,
yeah.
we're going to pull the kid, we're going to yell at the kid,
yeah.
do whatever we need to get the kid out of the street. And quite frankly, the stakes are a lot higher than just a bus hurling,
yeah.
towards us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the stakes are, yeah. eternal.
It sounds like you're saying there's objective truth.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
and that's the difficulty when you trace the roots again, you know. Mm-hmm. I will decide, I will think as I decide to think, and I will name this or that and speak it into existence.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's really foolishness or total deception. Yeah.
Right.
So you also do a lot in this whole area of biotechnologies.
Mm-hmm.
You have a newsletter, Choosing Human,
yes.
okay, and interview a wide variety of guests on various topics. You have a podcast, Brave New Us.
Mm-hmm.
Is that from Brave New World or something?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Brave New Us. So why biotechnologies? Why is this so important a topic for us as Catholics?
Yeah, so I think it's really essential that we are informed and on top of these things,
mm-hmm.
as Christians. We need to stay ahead of it. Praise God for the Dobbs decision, right? That's amazing. But we have had abortion,
yeah.
embedded in our culture,
yeah.
for so long. We're never going to get those lives back. And the things that are coming really threaten to dehumanize us. They are a threat to the sanctity of life, to human dignity, and not all of them, right? Some,
yeah.
of them have enormous potential for good, but we need to be a part of the conversation. We need to be a part of,
yeah.
the conversation that researchers are having, legislative decisions. Christians need to be at the forefront, yeah, influencing the culture, yeah, not just reacting.
Yeah.
And I also think that biotechnologies present a really interesting window for evangelization, because a lot of times they force people to ask questions that they wouldn't otherwise, you know, about what are we meant to do? Like, what is our human purpose? What does it mean to treat each other in this way? Or can we treat people this way? And it's a way to go in maybe a different door and to help people. When they're curious about something, they're willing to listen a little bit longer. And we have ancient wisdom that applies to every era.
Yeah.
So we can actually evangelize, yeah, by talking about these, yeah, different kinds of biotechnologies.
You know, I too want to stick my head in the sand and pretend that none of this is happening.
You can't.
But we have to be empowered with the truth. And, you know, we've, as a culture, we've let the medical community, mm-hmm, be the voice that we listen to. Well, it's coming from science. It must be real. It must be true. It must be good for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've taken the back seat, and it's like we've checked our brains, we checked our morals, we checked our ethics out, and now here we are in 2025 where we're doing all this transgender, mm-hmm, stuff where we're changing who we are and parents and children, and it happened so rapidly,
right?
It didn't just happen. I mean, it's just like all of a sudden, all this is here.
Yeah.
How did we get there and being voiceless as the church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think it's really interesting. So on the way here, I was reading on the airplane, I was reading a book, Michael Crichton's last book, fictional, called Next, and it was written about 25 years ago. And he was writing using real headlines about genetic editing, about human-animal chimeras, and these things were happening then 25 years ago, and they're, it's
now,
it's just exploding now, right? All kinds of things that we could talk about, mm-hmm, and go into about the way they're manipulating embryos and things, yeah, like that. But he knew about it 25 years ago. Huxley imagined where we were going. Talk about Brave New World, right, 100 years ago or so. So I think that we need to pay attention to what's going, right, on, you know, keep our fingers on the pulse of it. It can be dark, it can, yeah, be heavy, but, yeah, we have a responsibility to be, yeah, a part of it and, yeah, participate in this.
I think of Evangelium Vitae, mm-hmm, by John Paul II, which,
yes,
brought me back to the church. I was a lapsed Catholic. I read this. I said, this is what I'm trying to do and to believe. And I came back in. And there's a combination of phrases. I think it's from that. And it says, every Catholic is called to be a missionary of human dignity, mm-hmm, redeemed by the cross. You're called to be a missionary of human dignity, redeemed by the cross. And you were sent by God to evangelize this world.
Mm-hmm.
And motherhood, of course, just has a premier place in that, in terms of the intimacy of what it means to be human and experiencing that. But that is the evangelistic call, as you say. This is the fiat we need to give at this time.
Right.
In the midst of all of that. And we need to do that, share the gospel of life. It says in the beginning of Evangelium Vitae, with dauntless fidelity to every generation. This is your call. And don't be afraid to share it, because when you share it, John Paul says, people may not know the term, the gospel of life, but the gospel of life is written on their heart, mm-hmm, already. You need to call that forth. Call it forth and hold it up and say, this is who you are. Remember, this, yeah, is who you are, and kiss it and put it back in and say, be at home in your womanhood. Be at home in the feminine. Be at home in the masculine. We're not confused. You may be confused, but this is it. And you'll feel a heck of a lot better, because this world is in travail. At the center where we work, those that do choose life, we have classes for that. It's called Earn While You Learn. We share about numerous things. They are so beaten up, tired, infected, whatever. They're ready for some good news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they're really ready for some good news, both the men who come with them and the women. Like, how is this working for you? Let's have a conversation about it. You know, how many of you grew up with a mother and a father? 1 or 2 out of 15.
Yeah.
Would you like to have a mother and a father? Yes, I wish I had a mother and a father. Well, then you might want to think about getting married.
Right.
You know, 'cause you're just living together. What if you wanted a dad? You wanted a mom, anyway.
How do we teach this to our children?
Yeah.
How do we do,
yeah,
this with kids? How do we introduce this very tender subject and time, and do that well?
Yeah. Well, a lot of the biotechnologies, at least for the ages of my kids, you know, my oldest is 9, so we're not ready to go into,
yeah,
the science of it or the technicalities. what we're working on in our home is really solid Catholic formation. We want to make sure that our kids know this timeless wisdom and learn the virtue of prudence so that when they are called to apply it, they are able to do that. I mean, we can't know what's coming. We can't anticipate it. Yeah. We couldn't have anticipated where we'd be with, you know, three parent children, and mm-hmm. they just fertilized. They took an egg, hollowed out the DNA, put a man's DNA in the egg, and so they fertilized this embryo that is the genetic product of two men. These are things that we could not have anticipated would be coming. And so giving our kids, you know, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ.
Yes.
So solid training in the Bible, solid training in the prayer, knowing their rosary, knowing why we pray the rosary, knowing the gospel message, and then really practicing prudence. You know, how do we apply this in these small little ways? And then I think also forming the Catholic imagination, you know, immersing them in the stories mm-hmm. of the saints, mm-hmm. giving them really rich fiction to read that speaks to the meaning of, you know, what is goodness, what is beauty, what mm-hmm. is truth. There's mm-hmm. a lot of kid content yeah. out there that it has none of those things. You know, mm-hmm. it entertains, it sort of titillates,
right.
but it is
yes.
it is not speaking
it's
to beauty and truth and goodness. Mm-hmm. So forming them for that, then eventually when they grow up, they'll understand, you know, what is the human person for, what is life for, what is good. They'll develop a taste for God in the world, and, mm-hmm. and that's the most important thing.
Right. And the catechism, why did God make me? Most important question in the world. Mm-hmm. He made me to know him, love him, and serve him, and to be happy mm-hmm. in this life and in the life thereafter, right? And so we have to form them in that, to say, you're not just here, you belong, and heaven is our home. And so we have a calling and a purpose, and to bring that to pass in their own little lives.
We're going to take a break at this point.
Sure.
Hold you over for the final segment. Get your best stuff together. We're ready for it. You only have a few minutes. Give it to us, a bullet. And reclaiming motherhood from a culture gone mad. EW10RC.com. Strongly recommend this book. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we are concluding our conversation with Samantha Stevenson. Before you go, we want you to tell our family, what are some of the technologies that you are keeping your eyes on?
Yeah, so gosh, there's so many that we could go into, but I think the first that's important to start with is genetic editing. So we have the ability with a technology called CRISPR to go into the human body and basically snip out our genetic code, like editing a Word document. You know, we take out the broken bit and replace it with, or not even the broken bit. We can talk about that. But this technology is one of those ones where we talk about it actually can be used for great good and can be used for really nefarious purposes. So when Pope John Paul II wrote about it, it was only theoretical. Well, now it's happening. So I think the most exciting thing that I've seen come out of this technology is there was a 13-year-old girl with end-stage leukemia. No other treatments could work. She's in remission now, thanks to this right. this ability to take out that broken part and replace it. So that's incredible.
Yes.
Right? That's beautiful. That is the licit form that he spoke about. If we can do this therapeutically, praise God. On the flip side, though, there are these pronatalist startups in Silicon Valley that want to help us to design our babies. So all of it would be using IVF, and then to take out not just sequence, and it's bad enough that they do this, but sequence the genome and discard the embryos that are undesirable, maybe because they have genetic disorders, maybe just because they have blue eyes or whatever is undesirable in the eyes of the parents. But there are even companies now that are starting to promote this idea that we should design our children, so we should select the traits. And some of them are even saying, well, one day it will be immoral for us not to have our children this way. It will be immoral for us to have children who are the product of the marital act between a loving relationship with the man and the woman, because their genetic code is too important to leave to chance. And that's the argument that's being made there. So that is definitely one that I'm watching, keeping my finger on the pulse of that. Also, neurotech. So you might have heard of Elon Musk's company Neuralink. They're putting these implants in the brain. Brain-computer interfaces are exciting in the sense that they are going to and have restored the ability of people to communicate. You know, the goal is to help the blind see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. And I mean, I can't imagine going through that and then having this technology to be able to heal that. That is an incredible, you know, restored relationship, restored function. That's wonderful. At the same time, the idea of other use cases of what corporations would like to do with a brain-computer interface, I mean, Facebook is Meta is already coming up with this neural band. So you have these glasses now. So instead of having a device in your hand, you have glasses. So you're just always seeing the world this way. And the band responds to the neural impulses that your body is sending to your muscles. So you can be riding like this and you'll see it appear on the screen because it's reading these neural impulses. And so we're already being so, I mean, the phones are a biotechnology. It's this external stimulus that causes all kinds of neurochemical effects in the body. And I mean, we all know that, so we don't need to go into that. But do we really want to go down a path where we deepen our immersion in that, where we're literally seeing everything through that screen? And so that's one that gives me a lot of pause as well. Then we have things like three-parent children, where they're taking out the mitochondrial DNA and replacing it with a third party in the, with the goal of healing. Now, that's thankfully still illegal in the United States for now. What else? They're using stem cells to create these, they call them like bodyoids or parts of organs, mini brains, so that they can test drugs or do research on these things that have been grown from, I mean, it's human tissue that's being grown, partial. Some people call it zombie bioethics to look into that. And so it is great that we can test different drugs for neurological conditions on these, not humans, but at the same time, a mini brain, like consciousness, you know, we don't know what, we don't know what it is we're doing. And
well, we have to keep in touch with you. I mean, you've raised so many things now. And we need to hear from you again. Can we get everything we need with the newsletter and knowing more about, you know, your podcast at your website?
Yes, the website.
snstephenson.com. snstephenson.com. Welcome to At Home with Jim and Joy and to the EW10 family. What a great service you're doing to the church, the renewal of the church and awakening in our country. It's already written upon the hearts of many, many people. And you're a missionary to them, and we want to join you in that mission.
Thank you.
Reclaiming Motherhood from a Culture Gone Mad, EW10RC.com. God bless you. Keep it on EW10. Bye now.